Let's start with Gili Eliyahu. I'm sure everyone over here has experienced this. Okay, we're going to learn Lezecher Le'ili Nishmas, Mrs. Glatter's father. His name is Yechiel Aryeh Ben Rav Moshe. May his neshama have an aliyah. Gili Eliyahu v'ruach hakodesh b'zman hazeh. Rav Meir, you have Gili Eliyahu, right? Can you tell us about your experience? Eliyahu?
He saw it today. At the wrist.
You know, at the wrist.
Yeah, telephone.
Eliyahu Hanavi.
Don't you see him every day suffering?
Did I open the door?
No, yeah.
I do the simple way. I look at the wine.
I'm telling you, the wine.
The bubbles. Okay. Baal b'nei Yisachar be'igud pirka uv'sifrei regel Yisharu Kosaf writes the following: Sh'adam shemitchavin halacha l'amita shel Torah be'emes l'shem shemayim yoyser yesh lismoich alav mibal gili Eliyahu. Here's the whole thing: if a person who is mechavin halacha, a person who studies Torah, and he concludes with the halacha that is emes, you should rely upon him more than a person who is on a high spiritual level that has experienced Eliyahu Hanavi. How do we know this? So the Gemara over there says, I didn't learn the Gemara. We learn the Gemara. So what does the Gemara say?
The Gemara says, how do we know that we can rely on this guy?
Yes.
The Gemara says because
Pilegesh Hashem and Shemayim. What do you?
Paskin Alocha like him, and then it relates a story that the Yohanan came to him and said, "Yeah, you're right." So the question is, what do you mean?
So
isn't that enough that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to you and says...
It's not enough. The fact that Eliyahu HaNavi comes is not enough. You have to say... You need to...
We're reliable only if we pass him like you.
Torah Laba Shemayim. Torah Laba Shemayim. The fact that he studies Halacha, that is what earns him the right to be a Bar Samcha. The Inyan Zeh Kosa B'Shut Rav Po'olim B'Zeh Haloshayim. Asher Shalter, regarding this that you have asked, Sheshamata, Shahil Rabbeinu Rashash Zal Gili Eliyahu Zecholatov. Rashash was a Mekubal. They published today from him these way out Sfar. You ever see these things from the Rashash? The Siddur from the Rashash with all of these mystical things. Okay, the Rashash was a very, very big Mekubal.
The whole idea of Aimashkif and Babaskol as well.
It's Torah Lava Shemayim.
Right, it's a Tosus in Arabic that says that the reality is how come that Beis Hillel, once they had a mach like this and they paskin like Beis Hillel, they have the Basco. He said no, because the halacha was like Beis Hillel. The Basco only said all right, but it's still ain't mashkichim b'basco. Same thing.
So the Gil, even though we have Shoshamata, Shahil Rabbeinu Rashash Zal Gil Eliyahu Zoch Latov Vakosh Uva Keshes Lahag Uva. Uvikeshes lahagil lucha hasharas. Uvikashta lahagil lucha hasharas hasharas shekle sichli bedavar. You want to know my analysis, my take on this matter. Ein is bedavar ze echu da no. Kiyesh asharu lano medivri kabbalah al tigu b'mashichoy uvinviyay al tereyu. Stay away, don't bother, don't say anything negative against holy people. Al kain ainin ludaber benash mudelim v'atzumim b'hasharas hasechol shalanu. Don't ask me to give you my opinion about people who are recognized as being holy people. That is a very dangerous thing to comment upon a person's spirituality. V'rak, the only thing is rashayonu l'hagil l'chadav reyach b'gili Eliyahu zoch latov devaday b'inyan sheyizkeh adam ludaber ima b'ponim k'mo shohayil rabbeinu harizal. Dover ze kosher hametzias afilu b'deres horishonim the kol shechem b'deres swachronim. To tell me this, that the Rashash and Gili Eliyahu is very difficult for me to understand, because this idea that you can just throw around these words and say that he had Gili Eliyahu, it's something that you would not even throw around in the earlier generations. Alachas Kama V'Kam, it's not something to throw around in the later generations. And the Rosh, what from he's writing over here, he considers from the later generations. So therefore, basically saying is, what happened over here in this paragraph? A person said to the Rav Pa'olim, he said, they say about the Rashash, he had Gili Eliyahu. What do you have to say about that? So he says, I don't know what Gili Eliyahu is. This is something which is way over. So he said, this is way over my head. These inyanim of Gili Eliyahu. He's a holy person. Enough said. All you have to know about the Rashash, he's a holy person. Don't start talking about these matters which the average person has no relationship, no understanding of, and no knowledge of. Baran. Now he comes to differentiate and give you different examples of Gili Eliyahu in the mind of the tzaddik. The Hainu, sometimes a person needs to make a decision in life and he does not know what to do, and Hashem puts a machshava into his mind. That machshava, that thought that enters his mind, that tells him what to do, is a nitzitz, is a spark of Eliyahu Hanavi. The tzaddik ain't margish begili Eliyahu zochel to besichlo. The tzaddik is not margish, does not sense that it's really Eliyahu Hanavi talking to him. He thinks that what the decision he's coming to make is his own, but the truth is the decision he's making is really inspiration that comes from Eliyahu Hanavi. Ela choyshev shehu masig ha'emes besichlo. The emes in the kain ela hu masig adavar al yidei hislav shus nitzutz min Eliyahu zochor lato besichlo. The devil is in this kind of different. Meaning, so what's saying over here is that when you tell me that the Rashash has Gili Eliyahu, maybe what it means is that he had divine inspiration. It does not mean that he actually met with a human being with the form of an individual. That is Eliyahu Hanavi Zocher Latov. It means that he was zocher to a very unusual degree of siyata deshmaya in his writings, in his chidushim, and that inspiration only can become through something that is extraordinary, which is what we call Gili Eliyahu. Ubeshut Divrei Chaim Nishal Al Melamed Echad, considering a teacher Shepaga B'Chavod Or Arachaim Zal. Okay, the holy Arachaim. He went and he met him. The Omar.
He insulted him.
But Omar Shaloi also Sifa Beruach Hakodesh, and he said about him that he said was not really Beruach Hakodesh. The Heishiv Adibrei Chaim. The Adibrei Chaim writes. He writes, Lo yadati masafik lochem shuruch hakodesh shor gam ato al haroi lo. What do you mean? Even Bizman has in our day and age, there are people upon whom the shuruch hakodesh rests, af al pi she botlo hanavua min hanavim haloi beferish isa bebakbasha shem yom shechor besamidosh af al pi she nidlo min hanavim min hachachomim loy nitlo. Harei, shagam echor achar hachorbin ruach nevua shor al haru uyim lakach.
So therefore, even Bizman has said there is such a thing where people have divine inspiration.
The true vision of seeing things does not exist. But so Ruach HaKodesh, Nevua, is where you sit back and do nothing and HaKodesh Baruch Hu communicates to you. But Ruach Nevua that comes through study, through Talmud, that still exists in our day and age. Elo yoidim ho emes b'ruach hakodesh shebekirbam v'nedno l'cham b'perishu sheyasigum sichlam d'varam harbit shein koyach b'sichal teva la'asigam. They are able to understand things that al-piderach ha-teva are impossible. The chacham odif minavi perish may also navi sheyesh le'koyach liros asidois ve'ein le'darchi ha-nevuah sheheim mitzad ha-chacham shorash shechina lecha ayin sham barichos. So therefore, even in Talmud,
when the word Nevi'im, a Chacham is Adif Minavi. When a person comes to a Gilui, a revelation, an insight, an idea, an approach to life that comes through the study of Torah, that is even greater than a revelation that comes to a Navi as a gift, not through the toil of Torah study. In the staff. Gabi, Rabbi Yosar, the Askim, Mori, Al Yode, Rabbi Yosar, Hashem was maskim. What does he mean was maskim? We perish Rashi, Legalois, Loisoid, Lechavin, Bidvorim, Hasasumim, Al Amitosam. Secrets. He was able to reach the conclusion of the Sugya to know what happened and what it really means. And this was a revelation, the divine inspiration. Hare, the Ruach, Hakodesh, Vaskomas, Hakodesh, Baruch, Lepitl, Mechacham, Harim, Lezer, period. Umashem, Besoitesh, Bimois, Hanavim l'nilu ruach hakodesh. This that it says in the Gemara cited that from the time of the Nevi'im when they died, ruach hakodesh. Hayne ruach the nevuah. Av ruach hakodesh the chachamim the chokma. Ulahaskim besichloi im halacha l'moshe besinai oikra beviyaser ze lebalo v'lo yachesh ze rak apikoris. The only one that will disagree that is ruach hakodesh v'zmana ze are apikorisim. But tzaddikim realize that sometimes the zeichet the things that they would not ordinarily be zeichet to, and that only comes from ruach hakodesh. V'siyim ha'davar divrei ha'chayim u'ma she'kosavtem teshuvos migdol derenu shebitul gami ruach ha'kodesh loy amen. I do not believe she'yotza zemi pi rabbi senu she'yichyu u'mi yoideya ma she'kosav lochem ha'mate ha'novel hazeh. How does he know the person who wrote such terrible things? How does he know this? Avlo emes. The truth is, ad ledarkoi shagam bizmanenu, even in our generation, yesh lechachmei ha'emes, she'enem noitim achrei ha'choymer, people that are not involved in materialism. Yesh lohem ruach ha'kodesh chumavu b'mor nevuchim u'v'raman u'lechein bal or ha'chaim. And therefore, now he goes back to what he started with, the or ha'chaim ha'kodesh. His nishmasoi begins in meroimim, bevadai, with certainty, chiber sifra beruach hakodesh. You know, Ruach Chaim has experienced a renaissance. In the last couple of years, so many sefarim have been published elaborating upon the words of the Ruach Chaim, and there are many shiurim. Many people have started giving shiurim. It's become a very popular shir, chumash shir, but even among Ashkenazim, it's now picked up a lot of steam. You see all over, you see people studying and learning, spending time on Ruach Chaim. The proof is the new swarm that have been published. He's not alone. Who's writing this? Is the Divrei Chaim. The sons are Rav. K'moy she'amru b'shas al Rabbi Yosef v'chein kosev ha'tumim l'dina. Fine. She'ein loymar kikim li negel shulchan aruch. You can't say I know better than the shulchan aruch. Mishum she'kosvu ha'devrei b'ruach ha'kodesh ayin shom, because the ruach ha'kodesh was written up in ruach ha'kodesh. U'lechein ha'melamed ha'machish ruach ha'kodesh shul ha'rachayim. Anyone that writes such a thing that denies the ruach ha'kodesh of the ha'rachayim, who apikores she'ein imamim b'gdoli hador shehidu olav, they testified about him she'hoy roy l'ruach ha'kodesh. Ve'melamed hazeh Kofar Beikar, the teacher who made this statement, is called Beikar Ruach HaKodesh. The Leik, he has mocked Al Divrei Hashas, Vavabashra, Hanal, Yofa, Asisam, Shloi, Azavtem, Esmenechem, Biyado, Viyashar, Koichachem, So Abazes, So Abazes. The person here that's writing this letter to him, the Sanzerov, is telling me, I took my children out of his class. I took my kids out of that yeshiva when the Rebbe told the children that the Ruach HaKodesh was not Ruach HaKodesh, it's just folk literature. then it's a good thing you did by taking your students inside of that class. So, Ayn the Shut, the Mordechai, Sherech, Lechich, Al Ruach Kodesh, Rizman Hazeh. Okay, next. I'll just tell you, I'll review the story. It was one of my favorite stories. My favorite story about Eliyahu, and those are Gili Eliyahu. There was once a chassid. I told this to you. Maybe someone did not hear the story. To the Chazara. There was once a chassid that said to the Rebbe, there's one thing I want in life. I want Gili Eliyahu. The Rebbe said to him, Gili Eliyahu, you know what it means to be Zeicha? Gili Eliyahu, but the chassid did not let up. So the Rebbe said, okay, I'm giving you a bracha, you're going to have Gili Eliyahu. But Eliyahu is not here. Eliyahu, you have to travel 100 miles, horse and buggy, that's where you'll have Gili Elio. So he was so excited, he goes, gets the horse and buggy, tells his wife, he packs up, he goes, travels, and on the way there, suddenly the horse, it was the middle of the winter, a freezing cold night, and the horse and buggy break down. The wheel of the wagon breaks. He sees from a distance a little room, a little home with a candle in the window. So it's freezing cold. He goes there, and he knocks on the door, and he asks if he can have some help. He needs something for his. He needs a hammer. He needs some tools to fix the wagon, and it opens up a woman in Almana with little children. And he has some questions, and he discovers that her husband died, and she's all alone. And he notices that the family is mamish, starving. They don't have what to eat. So he goes back to his horse and buggy, his wagon, he fixes, and he realizes they have nothing what to eat. I took so much food. I'll give them some of my food. What greater mitzvah is there to give them some food? So he brings back a nice package of food to the home, and he thanks them, and he goes on his way. He goes to, and he reaches his destination. He reaches his destination, he looks around in this shtetl, who is Eliyahu HaNavi? And he looks, and he looks. There's someone that looks like a mayor. And he says, oh, that must be Leo. And he checks him out, and then he says, nope. And he looks for this one, he looks for that one, and after back and forth, there's no Leo in this town. Not that, at least that he's aware of. He goes back to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I listened to you. I traveled at great expense, at great tircha. I may have a rift in my shalom bayis because of this. And there's no Elio. So the Rebbe says, you met him. You just didn't realize it. You met him. Go back again. And this time I'm giving you a bracha. You'll meet him, and you'll know it's him. So he goes, he gets in the wagon, he packs up, he has a fight with his wife, and he goes, and then he's passing again in the middle of the night, and he sees, and he passes, this time the wagon is nothing, everything is okay, but he sees a little hut, and he sees the candle, and he remembers, oh, the almana who helped me when I got my wagon broke down. You know what? Mistama, if they were starving when I went the first time, they probably don't have what to eat this time either. So let me stop off and do a chesed and give them a package of food. So he stops off by the house, and as he's about to approach the house, he hears the little daughter crying to her mother, Mama, I'm hungry. So the mother says to the daughter, my daughter, don't worry. Remember a few weeks ago, we were starving, and the very last moment, Eliyahu HaNavi came to bring us some food. He then realized that he was Eliyahu HaNavi. He was the Eli, not the Eliyahu HaNavi with the Hey Hayidia, but he was the Eliyahu HaNavi for someone else. For someone else, for that woman. That woman was in an ace tzara. She didn't have what to eat. He, out of nowhere, came to the rescue. He was her Eliyahu HaNavi. He then realized what the Rebbe meant, that this Eliyahu HaNavi with the Hey Hayidia, but there are many individuals in this world who are also in the category Anitzaitzav Eliyahu HaNavi. He was her Eliyahu HaNavi. You never know who will be your Eliyahu HaNavi, and you never know for whom you are someone else's Eliyahu HaNavi. Anyone that reveals to you good news is the began there is a Anitzaitzav Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, let's go to the next shtickle. Kesiva l'seder v'zois habracha v'amiras psukim koidem birchois ha-torah. So this, he discussed a whole bunch of things here in this chat checklist, but one thing at a time. We'll see what the title means as we go through the inyan. B'sugyan nivur, this staff, it mentions the concept she'aso lichtav sholosh tevos lelo sirtut. You're not allowed to write on parchment are three words from the Torah unless you first etch a line in the parchment to guarantee that you have a guide. The Torah has to be written neatly, a straight line. So in the Sefer Torah, we all see there's sirtut. There are lines that are blank. There are lines etched into the parchment in order to serve as a guide for the Sefer to write the line straight. And you're not allowed to write three words unless you have sirtut. Avol shnei tevos, but if you're only writing two words, it's not so hard to write two words on a straight line. Omar Rebbe Yehuda, I think that's what it stands for, She'ein tzarech sirtut for 2 words, you did not write, first have sirtut. V'chach nifsak v'shulchan aruch, also lichtav gimel tevos mipasik v'lo sirtut, v'imhu kosav, imhu ksav ashuris. If you're writing ksav ashuris on parchment, does a parchment, ksav ashuris, you have to have, it has to be written with sirtut. Now, what's the reason? What's the reason why 2 words are an exception? If the halacha is that 3 words need sirtut, why are 2 different? It's not noticeable if it's divrei kodesh, since it's only 2 words. So maybe it's part of some poem. It's not muchrach that these are holy words. But once mash enkin begimul tables, then already it appears that it's holy. And once it's holy, we have a halacha that it must be written on with sirtut. Ulam, af begimel tevos pam she'enu mutshichum sirtut dug molikah chosav kagoyin hakoysev mayim korim al shaloi gomar eso inyanat shekosav tevas ad nofesh. Cold water al nofesh, that's a pasuk. So until you write the word nofesh, the 4th word, it's not noticeable that it is a pasuk. I'm not really familiar with what this means exactly, but the first 3 words, just because you put on the paper 3 words, it's not noticeable that it is words of kodesh. The average person does not pick up that these are words of kodesh. It seems that it's words of chol. So also you would not technically need sirtut for 3 words. So here you did not write the word cheres, mayim bekli cheres, mayim kidoshim bekli cheres. You left out the last word, only 3 words. Ton giniza lebneishik shetevas cheres ein elul tosefes biur. So therefore, this example, that's the classic example. Sometimes you only, even when you're writing 3 words, you do need sirtut categorically, because even if it's part of a pasuk which has 4 words, once already you've written 3 words, it's already clear to the observer that it's holy words, and if it's holy, has kedusha of diyoy and klaf and ashuris, then already requires the halach that they need sirtut. Now, let's go further. Okay, that's the basic halacha. Now we come into other related inyanim. B'pnei Yeshua kasav sheish isur gomu lichtav shem pasik al yor oi klaf k'gomosh mehagin achshav b'karev. Shekoy shem sukin b'yaskorev shem sukin shivisya shem negitamid b'ksav ashuris. He holds, now we don't always pasik like this, but the B'pnei Yeshua is very machmir. You're not allowed to write a complete pasik on paper, which will be disposed of. For example, wedding invitations. Od Yeshama b'yor Yehuda b'chutzos yushlaim kol Sosvikol, Simukol, Chosvikol, Chal, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. You're allowed to write a pasuk on a wedding invitation. What do most people do with wedding invitations? In the garbage. Okay, you go, so how are you, so in Echnami, there are Gedolei Yisrael that do not write. They do not write Tzukim. I remember in Tarvadas, the Rosh Kolel, Rabbi Label Williger, he married off a daughter when I was there. So he gave me the invitation. So he says to me, he's a very, very big Baal Halacha. He's this is his whole life, is Halacha. So he says to me, I want you to do this. He wants to give me a Bechina. In the invitation, I should show him 7 Chidushim. 7 Chidushim in the Nusach of the invitation. So I found some of them. I didn't find them all. It was interesting. Like he whatever he wrote, all the different things that he did that he felt which are more halachically correct. Okay, but he writes over here the Pnei Yeshua that you should not write a pasuk on the piece of paper, and therefore he was upset with people wrote on. They wrote Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. I guess people would write that they start off we start off B'siyata D'Shmaya. Many people they write on a piece of paper Beis Samach Dalet B'siyata D'Shmaya. So some people question if this is correct because it's going to go in the garbage in likelihood, this piece of paper.
It's not a
pasuk. So that might be a header. But what precede would used to be more common before you would write B'siyata D'Shmaya, you would write Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Tamit. People would write the entire thing on a piece of paper. Right? Some people start up B'siyata D'Shmaya, but some people would start up with the entire pasuk. That is not correct. Or the Ezra Hashem is also not so bad because it's not a pasuk. But Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Tamit is a pasuk in Mishle. It's a complete pasuk in Mishle. So therefore, he said, don't do that. Don't start off your letter. Okay, so that's a solution. But he holds that Nikra Din, you should not do this. this because afal afilu below sirat ela afilu al yidei wait below me boy the also the below sirat it goes without saying that do not begin a letter by writing the pasuk shavisa hashem this one without sirat because categorically forbidden ela afilu al yidei sirat namikli suim shemayin kaisim megila latinik leislamid ba we don't write a megila for a child to learn the ain lanu ela mashahuta beferish b'shem eis lasos lashem in general writing things down is not advisable. Only when you're allowed to, you can do behavior. Shachayetze bozek kasva turi even haturi zav shaaso lichtoy psukim ala koysel ve'aytaima de'in koysem megila kol shekain hayachacha de'ikot tami achuina lisur v'shemer nafsha yirachik. Other reasons in brewing is because it's going to likely end up in the garbage. V'nei b'sefer beis aron kasav lehoir al mashe koysem b'mechtavim l'seder v'zoyts beruachu chodayme. In the beginning of letters or haskamos or newspaper clippings, you'll always say the date, the way they refer to the date is, in addition to writing the actual date, or sometimes instead of they'll write, let's say their parashas, the Elish Shemois B'nei Yisrael. Or in this example, he writes, let's say their Vezois HaBracha. The way you identify the week is by referring to the parashas HaShavua. Uchadoyme. So first of all, the issue is, first of all, you're not allowed to divide a pasuk. Whenever you write a pasuk, you must write the complete pasuk. You're not allowed to divide called pus pasuk le paskina moshe anan le paskina. So he makes a distinction, Taisvis, that the only time you may not write a pasuk is when it's ledrasha, which means for learning purposes. I'm writing it down for learning purposes, so then we have a problem of Torah Shebich Bal Peh, you're not allowed to put in writing. So if you're writing a pasuk and now you're going to expound upon the pasuk and what the pasuk and it's being written on a piece of paper which is not going to have a kiyum, so then you're violating it's a form of violating the halacha of writing Torah Shebich Bal Peh down.
That's
but
only Hebrew writing as opposed to Rashi.
I don't know. It could be he doesn't differentiate.
Not sure.
Okay, but when he writes over here, when you're writing a letter, so it tells us there's something that's very surprising. When you're writing a letter, I'm not writing this for Torah as a form of writing Torah. To write Torah generally is also. Torah Shebal Peh may not be put on paper. You're writing a letter. And you're writing Nuschos, so that's not a problem. Loshon Tzach Belis Sirtut. Okay, so that's what Tosfos says. So therefore, based upon that, therefore, that's why we're Mekel. That's why it seems this really is one of the main sources why we're so Mekel, because we do not write Psukim on invitations and on letters and in the newspaper because we're using these expressions to learn from. It's just a matter of greetings. And so therefore, it's not a violation of of Tarsha Bal Peh, which we're not putting in.
All these placating that they say Yimach Shemai, because that's also a pasuk. Yimach Shemai is a chroi, it's a pasuk.
In the Mishle. It's a Mishle, yeah.
Yimach Shemai, unless you put a line in the circle.
Now here is something very, very amazing. If you're mishanim me'at, you don't write the pasuk with precision. You notice in the Gemara, 90% of the time the pasuk is incorrect. In the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a pasuk and the Gemara always gets it wrong. There's always a word that's off or something that's a little bit off. Well, the Gemara, they didn't know Tanakh. They knew Tanakh better than we know anything that we could possibly know. They knew Tanakh better. It was done deliberately because since they're writing this in the Talmud, they're writing for the purpose of a drasha, so there's a violation of the halacha of putting Torah, of putting something down without sirtut, a partial pasuk, or writing Torah Bal Peh and putting it into writing. Therefore, if you don't write the pasuk accurately, you write it with a mistake, then it is okay. Allah Havdul.
Over there, it's because you can't. learn Torah Shabbat
Bal Peh. That also, there are multiple reasons. Sirtut, writing, it's not a complete pasuk, and also you're not supposed to use a pasuk when you're darshaning a pasuk. You see, when you Torah Shabbat Peh, what is Torah Shabbat Peh? Torah Shabbat Peh is building upon Torah Shabbat Chsaf. We have a pasuk, and we're going to darshan the pasuk. So if you're going to take the pasuk and put it in writing, and then expound upon it, writing the pasuk itself is also a violation of writing down Torah Shabbat Peh. So therefore, if you don't write the pasuk in the correct way, it's okay. I heard this yesterday from Stephen Przanski. He's Thomas Jefferson. Lahavdil Elif Alfa Avdolis. Thomas Jefferson did not know how to spell. He was a horrible speller, worse than Dan Quayle. He did not know how to spell. So he said, "What's the big deal? Only a small mind can think of one way to write a word." Isn't that a great line? Only a small mind can think of one way. What?
If you write a sentence without the vowels,
yeah,
you can read it.
If you write a sentence without the vowels, you can still read it, okay? In English. In English, yeah, okay. That's how they write short. What's the standard? People in court, what are they called? So they have a code. They write in shorthand. Stenography, there's a code. They write in short. Kamoke, yesh. What?
Which theory? Shannon's theory of information.
Yeah.
It says language, everything that we do is extremely redundant. Because if it wasn't redundant, if you missed one word in the guy's lecture, you wouldn't understand anything that he said. Obviously, there's redundancy.
Protection. I've been in this city for many years. I've come to a new community, and I've taken note. In this new community, which I become part of, I notice that they say a lot of psukim before davening. For example, how can you say psukim before you recite Birchos HaTorah? V'amarti l'chem ki lo nochal lasos kein neged hashulchan aruch. V'tchila kol shulchan aruch says v'tchila yomer habrachos v'bruchos haTorah. V'achakach yomu kol apsukim shiraitzim. What's going on here? I come to this new community. Everyone is saying all these psukim. Saying slichas, right? Some people they say slichas, and then they first begin to say birchos haTorah. That's wrong. You're supposed to first say birchos haTorah, and then say the slichas which have all the psukim. V'reisi mishin nizar shem hutzrach lo v'lebezak nes kodem shama habrachos kodem sheyikones shetzorch. So furthermore, when you come into the Beis HaKnesses, you're supposed to say the pasuk Vani Beroiv Chastecha Avo Veisecha Shtach Vatechal Kodeshecha Biyosecha. That's what you're supposed to say when you come to the Beis HaKnesses. But most people, when they come to the Beis HaKnesses, they have not yet said Birchas HaTorah. So how can you say the pasuk of Vani Beroiv Chastecha before you've said the pasuk Birchas HaTorah? So what do they do? Shechmir Bezei Bezei Kodesh Vachu Hoya Oimer Vani Beroiv Chastecha and Bezei Mak Bezei says you must say this. Chu Hoya Oimer Vani Beroiv Notice, so therefore, what is the solution? If you have not yet said Birchas HaTorah, change the pasuk. Don't recite the pasuk in its correct form, but change the form something similar, which is still grammatically correct. I come ani berov chasdo in his kindness, not chasdecha. Don't speak directly to in your, but speak in a different form. Avo beso eshtachavel hechal kotsho biyir oso kedei shloi loy marpasek b'kitikuk no koydem birchas haTorah al dasham b'yushalmi shayim shanim pasek mitam sirtut. Just like when you have to write a pasek without sirtut, you should change the pasek slightly. So here, similarly, when you have to say a pasek before birchas haTorah, you should say it in an incorrect version. V'heviu Taisus begitin v'chodin linyan birchos haTorah v'mitamze ein lema kishaniach tefillin pasuk ve'erastich li be'emuna im loy birch birchos haTorah k'moshe kosavnu be in yoy seinu b'mokim acher. So he's likewise machmir. If when you put on tefillin, you have not yet said birchas atari, you should not be saying those psukim. They rastach li leolam. They rastach li said because the psukim. Now obviously we don't pass like this. The Jewish Libur himself brings this down. That most poskim are of the opinion that if you're not saying the psukim b'derech Talmud, derech limud, if you're saying psukim derech tachanunim, then it's not in the category of Torah, and then there is no violation of reciting psukim before the recital of birchas haTorah.
One of my rebbeim, my Chofetz Chaim, he had said that possibly, wasn't sure, but that when you make birchas haTorah one day, it covers you till you say it the next day. So even if you said beforehand, it's a ma'ala.
Interesting.
It covers you for a 24-hour period. So
you're still on yesterday. Very interesting.
Schedule.
Very interesting. You're still carrying
still
over.
On yesterday's schedule.
There is truth to that.
Before we did anything in the morning.
There's truth to that because that's what the night of Shavuos.
Right.
You stay up the whole. I actually saw that svara. So once the zman already comes to daven, you're still learning. Let's say someone's still learning. So how are you allowed to continue learning when you have not yet said birchas haTorah? So you're continuing. You're still on the cheshbon of yesterday's. And that's certainly much easier when you have not yet gone to sleep.
Right.
But when you go to sleep, so then it says it triggers a new obligation. But there's still a carryover from yesterday. Very interesting. Yeah. Next, kayot bezeh kosim bichal yosef im omar bakosha sheish sham tevos mipsukim nire diyachol loyim akodim bichal tarak we just before vehayos vehatevos sheish mipsukim einim ela ledaber tzachos lishna dekron nokat. You're only using a clean expression. You don't mean it to use it to say these words as a din of Talmud Torah. Uchashem. You say various words from the psukim. Hashem shel gabi sirtet bigeres shloimim muter lichtoiv afilu kama tevus meaposlik lidaber tzachos taisvus. Taisvus says that you can write even many psukim when you're using it as an expression, as long as you're not using it as in the form of Talmud Torah. The ayin biyaveitz uveshudra paolim asher chichui mesugin leinyan amiras yoyim hashishi koydem hakidush belel Shabbos im heyoy shemaskidim shtei tevus belel. Okay, this is the common question. How are you allowed to begin Kiddush with Yom HaShishi? Yom HaShishi is the end of the Pasuk. So indeed, there are people that say Vayer Vayvoker Yom HaShishi. That's what he says. From the beginning of the Pasuk.
And you say it in Kol Mekadesh, it says that that's what he's supposed to do.
Right, so that's what some people do. They start in an undertone.
Yes,
it's not part of the Iker Kiddush, because the Iker Kiddush will mark which have a very precise number of words. I think there are 70 words. There are 70 words, what? Before the bracha and after the bracha, in total, there's a grand total of 70 words. So, and the Yom HaShishi are part of those words. But how are you allowed to say two words called Pasuk LePaskei Moshe and LePaskinan? So, LeChatchila, it would be a nice thing to begin in an undertone the beginning of the Pasuk, which begins with Vayechal Lokim, it's called Sharasa. Vayer Vayevoke Yom. And Yom, then you begin loud.
Right.
Kamakash, that's what we do over there. But over here he says, on this top little paragraph, he says that bidiyaved, if you don't do that, you're also covered. You're also covered because it's only two words. Okay, so he reads over here that since it's only two words, he's saying he wants to create an analogy between his reciting words and sirtut. This is a major chiddush. That's what he's really. That's the main theme of this thing here is that the laws that are taught in the Gemara concerning sirtut have an equal application with regard to amira. There's a prohibition to write a pasuk without sirtut, and there's a prohibition to recite a pasuk bal peh. There's a prohibition to recite a pasuk, partial pasuk, and there's a prohibition to recite a pasuk before you recite Birchas HaTorah. But now that we have established a relationship between writing without sirtut and reading psukim in an incorrect way or form, once we know that there are heterim for sirtut, we can apply those exact same heterim for recital. What are the heterim? two is, there's no prohibition. Just like when it comes to sirta, the Gemara says explicitly that if you're only writing two words, you don't have to do sirta, because two words, it's not obvious that it's kodesh. So too, if I'm only reciting two words of a pasuk, yom hashishi, there's no prohibition. Just like when it comes to two words, when it comes to the other example, if it's derech tzachos, I'm only saying it because it's an expression. I'm not using it midin talmud Torah. So when you're saying different psukim or partial psukim as an expression of tachanunim, not as a din of talmud Torah, also there will be no prohibition. So basically, he's coming to cross the line that whatever heter we have with regard to sirtut that's explicit in the Gemara and in Tosfos, we could apply to the laws of Amira, even though we don't have those principles anywhere openly. Okay, let's take a break and then we will discuss Shoivavim or Shoivavim.